I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No,
I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta...
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
It's that time of the week again, Sportsaholics episode number 140, and it feels so good. This week was a long week. It felt like there was 2 weeks between episodes.
Spring break, bro. Spring break. I feel we just did one, so you know we're getting divorced soon.
Well, you know,
two people in a relationship who see things exact opposites. Sounds like we're heading to. Sounds like this train, Sportsaholics train, maybe heading towards divorce town. Geez.
I think what it is I drove to Phoenix, spent 2 days out there, came back.
That is long.
I just was out
you
and about.
You lived a week and a day just driving to Phoenix.
Yes.
That ages you.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
But by the way, guys, we do have to say the breaking news. Far from divorcing, Sportsaholics is going on the road. We are hitting, we're hitting the airwaves, the airlines. We're going to hit the airwaves, the air. We're going to hit the air, and we're going to fly to Kansas City. Here we come.
That's going to be, let me make sure I get this. So I'm working on that Wednesday.
We're there April 27th, 28th.
And 29th. That's at Stanford's in Kansas. It's out at the Legends for you listening in Kansas City, out where the Sporting Park is, the Kansas Speedway. We're right there next to that.
And I've never been, people, so I want only the good, fun Kansas City people to come out and take me to all the good Arthur Bryant's and weird, you know, tell me the good barbecue and we'll make fun of the bad barbecue or whatever we need to do.
See, I think I'm gonna reach out to the museum, see if we can get an interview with Mr. Kendricks, the curator there, and he's like the public face of the museum.
Do you think it'd be bad if I'd ask him, why don't they let Negroes play in Major League Baseball now?
Because
there aren't such thing as Negroes anymore.
He would probably come back with stats about how there are fewer African Americans in baseball right now.
That's a good thing. We're gonna have to ask him that.
You know, there's with the Urban Baseball Initiative that kicked off, I think, a little over 10 years ago. Now yeah. There are stats that say that number will be trending upward from here on. So this is number 140. This is the Sean Kemp episode. Sean Kemp, the Rain Man himself.
The
Seattle
Rain Man. Rainchild?
Seattle
Rain
Supersonics. God. Rain Man.
Manchild?
Sean Kemp, for many reasons, is infamous. One, post-career being that he has 7 children with 7 different women.
Don't say post-career because that happened during his career. So it was career. It was career adjacent.
That's okay. Started in his career. Apparently, there's a Sean Kemp Jr. that played at Washington briefly.
The dub.
You know, you definitely give him a walk-on spot, even if he's horrible. I mean, you're Sean Kemp's kid.
I'm just saying there's a point, too, where it's like Sean Kemp could have as many Sean Kemp Juniors as George Foreman has Georges.
Well, Derek Thomas, I think, had 8 kids. His son played football in one of the suburban schools in Kansas City eventually.
Right.
But Sean Kemp's kids was actually the name of a really good basketball team in our comedy basketball league years ago. It was Adam Ray,
yep.
Brian Moot, who's now a big morning radio host, I think, in Atlanta, and he married some British reality TV star. Do you remember Brian?
Brian Moot? I don't think so.
Anyways, really Seattle guy.
I remember someone named Moot.
Jeff Dye was on that team from Seattle.
Also has a TV credit, Adam Ray, TV credit. By the way, Adam Ray, everybody, is the voice of Slimer in the new Ghostbusters.
Really?
Yes, and he's in the movie. He's the lead singer of that rock band. If you will see the new Ghostbusters with Leslie Jones, you will see Adam Ray as the lead singer of the rock band. He gets possessed, and then also... He is actually the voice of Slimer in the Ghostbuster movie.
They snuck him in there with the Fahim Anwar was on that team, another great comic from Seattle.
Right.
His special just came out on CISO. One thing I've noticed, Seattle people are pretty chill and usually like pretty good people. Think about that rundown. Those are all like.
Oh yeah. I'm also the most surprising thing is the one you told us the one you hyped the most. I mean, and I think it's great that he's a great big morning guy in Atlanta and he's married to some great British chick.
Yeah.
But weirdly, like, it was the one you actually promoted. Sort of had like the least you know, but film TV credit.
And maybe that's because I felt. The need to promote him more because he's not all right, a national.
I see. It was a compensation factor.
I guess with that being, it's when you moved as a comedian, you moved to LA or New York, you don't know the trajectory of your career. We're all bouncing around doing mics.
I know the trajectory of everyone's career.
Playing basketball on the weekends. And 6 years ago, if I would have said, Brian's like, hey, I'm going to go be a big morning radio host in Georgia and make six figures or whatever he makes. I'm sure they make a lot of money. Be like, oh yeah, no shit. Good luck with that. Oh yeah, I'm gonna marry this British reality star.
Are you gonna have a good life?
Oh, cool, man. Enjoy that. But anyway, Sean Kemp was one when he came out. He went straight to high school to the NBA, which in the late '80s, nobody. It was Moses
Malone had done it, but I want to say there was some weird. Like I want to say he did 1 year somewhere, a JUCO year.
It was a split. He had committed with Kentucky, which a lot of people say that's why he somehow didn't win Mr. Basketball in Indiana his senior year.
Yes,
and so because a lot of people think he had verbally committed to Kentucky, and so he gets there, doesn't qualify, doesn't get the 700. So then so the people around him are thinking, you know what, idle hands of the devil's playground. Let's, you know, maybe you don't go to Kentucky if you're not going to be playing.
Right.
Inevitably, there's a stolen gold chains from the coach's son that turn up that he's trying to allegedly pawn. No charges were pressed. He transfers to a community college in Texas, never plays there. And then finally his...
Trinity Valley Community College in Texas.
Yep, that's the one. That's the one. And doesn't even play there. And
right, Sean Sutton, the son of then head coach Eddie Sutton. Sean did not press charges.
It was Eddie Sutton. Okay. See,
It was Sean Sutton, the son of Eddie Sutton.
Because Eddie Sutton, for me,
was accused. He left the team in November 1988 after he was accused of pawning two gold chains that had been reported stolen from his teammate Sean Sutton, the son of then Kentucky head coach Eddie Sutton. This is all from Wikipedia, by the way. After a semester at TVCC, where he did not play, 19-year-old Kemp was declared himself eligible for the 1989 NBA draft. I was still in high school when he went pro. I was graduating. I guess I graduated high school right before he was drafted in the NBA.
He was one of these very explosive, one of the most, well, if not the most explosive player in the NBA. And plus, when he came out, he was a McDonald's All-American.
He was the player most damaged by the NBA lockout. Guys, I want you to know this. Like, it's like there are a couple things that go wrong in Sean Kemp's career, besides what we just mentioned about Kentucky and pawning and converting. And I guess everything about Kentucky was bad if it cost him Mr. Basketball Indiana. And then he got, at the very least, accused of pawning stolen necklaces at Kentucky and then had to go to whatever
somewhere in Texas, yeah.
Right, but it was Trinity, that's why. Because I'm like, wasn't it Tennessee Valley? Yeah. I was like, is it Tennessee? Okay, anyway, Trinity Valley Community College. But then, it's like, if you guys know, they were like the first one seed ever upset by an eight seed, or one of the few, because that was the great Denver Nuggets. Like, the Sonics were the one seed in the playoff year that Derek Mutombo's Denver Nuggets upset the number one seed.
And Dikembe Mutombo's got that infamous holding the ball, crying, right.
And
shaking
that is also, but that's also one of those things that it's like, you know, like, I always sort of say the year that, back on, same on Seattle, the year that Seattle Seahawks made the playoffs at 7-9 and got a playoff win, I tell you, that made them a winning franchise, even though they were under 500. Like, even with the playoff win, they were dead. They lose the next playoff game. So they're, for the season, they were still under 500. They had gone to the playoffs. They had tasted. All of a sudden, that's the thing of, like, you know.
It's experience. It's experience.
You can't buy belief in yourself. You can't buy belief in yourself. If something happens and all of a sudden, it's like, I remembered for years, like, people like Yogi Berra, Yankee greats like Yogi Berra would say, don't worry, the Red Sox will, you know, like, no matter how good the Red Sox were, it's like something in the pinstripes distracted them, something, you know, a curse would, a bounce of the ball, and, you know, it's like, as much as those players, like, because, you know, you're talking about 22, 26, 28, 30-year-old guys who are trying to, you know, every year, there's a 78-year-old curse, there's a 80-year,
that's,
you know,
always looming over their
right,
heads.
But, and they're like, I have nothing to do with that, and they're young jocks who've won their whole life and always been, you know, they're high school gods of their communities, who are the greatest at, like, you know, everyone who's in, like, the major leagues, you know, major, like, these guys were the best athletes, like, not just in their town, but usually, like, in their county or their state, like we're talking about Sean Kemp. It's like, and they've always been treated special. And then they realize that as they can't actually take, like, they can't hold up an entire New England six state area that believes it's doomed. Like, when the tides start turning against you, you know, this wipes a lot of people's confidence and shit out. And, you know, it's like, so this was Kemp. They going back to Kemp, and this was the glove and Deathless Shrimp. Like, this was a contender team.
Oh, Deathless Shrimp was Nate McMillan was on that team.
Right.
Del Curry may have even been.
I don't know. But it was like, but you're saying, like, this was a contender team that went once to the NBA Finals against.
Pushed the Bulls to six games, I believe,
maybe
that year.
The most competitive of all the series. And it was like, God, the Rain Man, he was young. He was exciting. Sean Kemp and Gary Payton were this great, like, you know. This was a great inside-outside duo. Like,
that West Coast, I mean, you had that Tim Hardaway, Chris Mullin, Mitch Richmond, or not Mitch Richmond. No, Mitch Richmond with the
Run
Warriors.
Run TMC.
Yeah,
sure.
For a
Run
little
TMC.
While.
But this was like, you know, like, remember I always think of the movie Blue Chips, because, like, when Penny Hardaway and Shaq came out, it was like, in some ways, like, that inside-outside big man, you know, like, a great guard with a great big man, like, and it could be a Chris Webber type or a Shaq type, you know, it's like you're a four or a five, a great inside 4-5, with a great one, you know, and the glove, man. I mean, and by the way, like, nicknames, his name's the glove. Why? Because his defense is so good. It's like a glove, man. Like, that's the best, you know? I mean, and Gary Payton, like, Gary Payton is so, he just looks great. Does that make sense? Like, he, by the way, he's got cast in several movies just because he looks like a natural kind of henchman or
and
villain.
Just to be known for just talking shit constantly throughout the game, and everyone knows it's happening, and that he's the best at it.
Yeah.
You know, you get all that extra street cred right there. And it was just fun
to
watch.
Like, look,
he could get into people's heads.
Payton was great, even if he was against you, somehow he was like a villain you like. You could like that villain. And then there's a point where it's like, you know, there's some Irish bar out in Toluca Lake. And it's an Irish bar, so it's no big deal in an Irish bar, even Los Angeles, to see a Celtic jersey hanging because it's green and white, and those are the colors. But there's a Celtics number 10 that's like, number 10? Who's that? Oh, it's Gary Payton. It's like, so there's a Gary Payton Celtics jersey hanging out, like, in some Toluca Lake Boston bar. I mean, not a Boston bar. It's a you know, an Irish bar in Toluca Lake.
Now, was that, I'm assuming that's post-Lakers that he slips?
No, he hadn't even played for the Lakers yet, because the Lakers is right. That's like, he plays the Lakers almost last.
See, I don't even remember. Yeah, and then, well, Shaq played for the Celtics, right?
That was, and Shaq is last? Yeah. Shaq is a great Celtic. He's one of the all-time greats, Shaq.
Oh, man. Well,
actually, I'll give you.
You're looking it up right now?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. What are we talking about? Are we getting into the first quarter? We get out of this?
Yeah, we'll do some plugs. And then
when we come back, we're going to do plugs, but when we come back, I'm going to plug the second quarter. Breaking news, everyone. Pete Rose, starting quarterback for the New York Giants. Come back in quarter two, and I'll tell you all about how Pete Rose, breaking news, is now the starting quarterback for the New York Giants.
And like we mentioned before, Eric and I will both be at Stanford & Sons, Eric's inaugural trip to Kansas City. So I'm looking forward to that. Show him around. You know, get the barbecue and all that good stuff. But if you go to John, J-O-N is here. There's some information, or I think it's stanfordscomedyclub.com to order tickets. And that is the Thursday night show, I believe 7:45 or 8. And then there's two shows Friday, which I think are 8 and 10 or 7:45 and 10 Friday and Saturday. And those of you listening in the Pacific Northwest, I will be at Peabody's in Mill Creek this Wednesday, the 19th. So if you're in the Seattle area, come see me at Peabody's in Mill Creek on the 19th. And just north of that on the Thursday, the 20th, I will be at the Angel of the Winds Casino, and I have no idea.
Angel of the Winds.
I have no idea what city that's in. All I know is it's by the ocean. I'm looking forward to just
the
nice
Angel
clean
of the
air.
Winds.
And then if you're hungry and you're in San Diego, go to Don Carlos Taco Shop. That is located kitty or catty corner from the world famous comedy store in La Jolla, California on Pearl Street there.
In La Jolla.
Go in there, say hi to Ryan, great guy. And then if you are in need of any shirts, hoodies, anything printed up, go to unionpresskc.com. That's unionpresskc.com.
You need jerseys for softball, for bat mitzvah.
If you need anything, you know, you got softball, basketball team, anything you need, just shirts, family,
by
reunion.
By the way, as we're on shirts, I will say, correction, of course, Gary Payton was number 20. It just ended with a zero, sorry, 20. And he ended his career with the Miami Heat, but he did get a championship with Shaq and Dwayne Wade in 06.
Oh,
continue with your plug.
Good for him. And that actually concludes the plugs again. Union Press, KC to
find. When we return, Pete Rose, starting quarterback for the New York Giants. Breaking news in the second quarter. See you there. Stay upset. You while you're gone. This old town will seem to die without you, but it sure will come to life when you come home. So take care of you for me in Kansas City. And honey, call me every now and then. Take care of you for me in Kansas City. 'Cause I'll miss you till you're in my arms again. Now, honey, watch those Kansas City Romeos, and don't let them fool you with their charms. Have a lot of fun, but remember that I love you, and I'm awaiting here with my two open arms. So I'll take care of you for me in Kansas City, and honey, call me every now and then. Take care of you for me in Kansas City, 'cause I'll miss you till you're in my arms again.
All right, and we are back, and Eric, let us hear it. Pete Rose is now.
Ladies and gentlemen, and specifically to any New York Giant fan out there, who, by the way, first of all, Giant fans, every one of you thinks too highly of yourself, because no one else, no other fan of any other team in the NFL cares about you at all or thinks you're an interesting franchise. By the way, we didn't say you weren't a good franchise. We said you're not interesting. I mean, Big Blue is absolutely boring.
I mean, anytime your starting quarterback is pawning off fake memorabilia to be autographed and sold as
game-worn memorabilia to collect.
I mean, come on,
Eli. Rose, I mean, this is Pete Rose.
Eli, what are you doing? I mean, that's very Pete Rose.
Never mind. So Eli Manning, this is an ESPN story, so you know it's true. Eli Manning turned over a potentially incriminating email earlier this month in connection with a lawsuit that claims quarterback of the New York Giants and a team equipment manager knowingly provided false game-worn memorabilia, which, by the way, is also, first of all, and especially all of you gloating Giant fans who loved the whole, you know, you beat the Patriots twice in Super Bowls, you ruined our perfect season, you got that. And then you got to gloat about Deflategate, and fine. But you know what? Hashtag fuck you Giants fans right now, because if my quarterback did Deflategate, he didn't try to sell those footballs or fake deflated footballs to collectors like your cheating scumbag actual crime. I hope he gets suspended and you have to have Geno Smith start 8 games in the second half of the season because of the integrity of the game. I want to get Goodell. I want Goodell after your guy for 8 games because he's Pete Rose besmirching. I would love if by the way, if Eli.
So you think this will constitute some actual suspicion? Well, you know what?
It's integrity of the game. 4 games. My guy got 4 games for footballs that were low inflate. This guy.
Fake helmets.
Eli Manning has an email that said, can I get a couple helmets that will read as game worn?
Just bang, clang them together.
That's fraud, baby. And by the way, hashtag fraud, baby. You guys. That's a criminal. Now, by the way, I will also say since we're in the criminal justice part of Sportsaholics, I will also say, Patriots fans, you now have O.J. Simpson. Evidently, a jury of 12 people in New England surprisingly acquitted convicted murderer Aaron Hernandez of 2 additional murders that I guess they couldn't quite lock down that he did.
So he's in jail for
he's
two
in jail.
Or one
he,
or
not,
two.
He, you know. Unlike my hopeful Facebook, he will not be available for OTAs or the. I don't think he's not available until probation. I think. 20.
Wait, so he's getting off of?
He's just not getting additional years. But he's already serving a lifetime for the death of
Odin. Yeah.
The death of Odin, everyone.
God.
He killed Thor's father.
Well, you know, all I remember is that the guy that got murdered was an arena football player.
And by
player,
the way, just, you know, Giants like fans again, and all those NFL fans out there, and by the way, a lot of Kansas City Chiefs fans out there, you'll all enjoy Geno Smith starting as the Giants' number QB1 should Eli get suspended. And he should get suspended, especially, I mean, if it goes
to
trial.
It's expensive. That's the thing, like the value. I am someone that buys game-used stuff. When I go to the baseball games and I've gotten game use. I like the way MLB, that goes straight from the field to a guy. He logs it.
Yeah.
Puts a, it's a hologram that's referenced online.
It's a sticker,
it's catalog
that they say is a hologram. It's not an actual hologram. I mean, it's not like Princess Leia isn't talking to Obi-Wan Kenobi on the top of your ball, everybody. Spoiler if you haven't seen Episode 4, Star Wars, A New Hope.
It's coming there. That's going to be a 2018 season.
Or hashtag Rogue One, where the... Anyway.
But you get the sense that, yeah, that's what happened. And they break down the play, who was pitching, which pitch it was in the at-bat. It's very detailed. And when, next time you guys go to a baseball game, watch the guy, watch a foul ball. The umpire will take it, and he'll roll it back to a bat boy or someone in the dugout. And when you watch the guy in the dugout, he'll take that ball and walk it to the end of the dugout, hand it to a guy with a notebook, and that's what they do right there, just to verify it. But you pay extra.
I hope to God all of you have something more interesting to do at that moment in a ballpark, including checking your phones or anything.
Yeah, I'm just saying, look, for someone...
Granted, that's there, but Sheezer loves this.
For the thousands of other people that do as well, or that... Because, yeah, there's a lot going on. If you're ever like, who's that? What's that guy writing in the book right there? It's he's logging all the game use stuff. But it increases the value tenfold.
I can't wait. I believe
I'm sure those are $5,000 helmets.
I see, you know what, Caesar? I just saw your future. And especially this might be around your retirement age. But I'm willing to bet like by 55, 65, you're going to be that guy. You're going to be the guy that just sits. You're going to be the official authenticator for Major League Baseball. I see it. I'm willing to bet you end up having a long talk. Let's try to interview somebody who's a authenticator.
Well, I could do it this Wednesday. I'm going to the Mariners Marlins game, and they're commemorating Ichiro's 3,000th hit. Well, I was at the Mariners game, Royals last season, and the guy that works at the authenticator booth at the Mariners, he's a dick. He's just an asshole. No
yeah.
customer service. He's really, really short. Like, we're bothering him with questions.
Yeah, yeah.
All I want to know is the ball that was used.
Let's get an interview with him for next. Let's get an interview on that.
I'm guessing it might be the San Diego, the Padres. They had two different spots.
Right.
Both seasons, yeah, it was kind of like the same. But, yeah, when you go there in, like, the fourth quarter, you can see people waiting. There'll be people waiting for them to bring the balls up. Like, they're very anxious to get their hands on. And which I was re-looking at my collection, one of my better.
He has a wall of balls, people. Caesar has a wall of balls.
One I discovered that one of my favorite ones in the collection is Carlos Correa. It's his second ever postseason at bat or game. I'm sorry.
Wasn't he the guy that almost ended your season by hitting Xerox home runs?
Yeah, no, he's going to be, you know, probably projecting as a Hall of Famer if he just continues.
Everyone projects as a Hall of Famer, yes, this young in their career.
And then you just need 15 years of that consecutively.
Yeah. Nomar Grasseberry used to be a Hall of Famer.
But and now he is, and he'll probably go down in that Dodgers Broadcasting Hall of Fame eventually in about 15, 20 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he'll go in as a broadcaster. He won't go in, like, he's not going in as a player.
No, by all means, no. You know, but it was a Yordano Ventura was the pitcher, and I didn't even realize that until I was looking back at the collection. I was like, holy shit, that's a Yordano Ventura.
So you have a ball touched by a dead man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, because remember, the guy who hit it never... I always think that's one of the more interesting things about, like, it's a home run ball. It's like, remember, like, by the power of electricity, only if that's the only way Albert Pujols has never actually touched any ball that is a home run of his. Like, Barry Bonds,
correct.
Like, Barry Bonds has never... he literally, he may have touched them and signed a ball, but he did not touch them in the event of what we're celebrating. None of Barry Bonds' record-breaking home run balls were actually touched. Like, the event is not by, Mark McGwire. They don't touch the ball. It's like their bat touches the ball real fucking hard.
Right, at about 120 mile an hour clip.
Yeah, yeah. But sitting. When you say like it's Dennis Eckersley served up, he calls it a bridge maker. It's the bridge maker. It's like he served up the famous, I don't believe what I just saw. Who's the Kirk Gibson Dodger home run. It's like Dennis Eckersley is the man who pitches it. It's the fingerprints of the vanquished pitcher that are all over that in a home run ball. So that's interesting that, so now.
And I also have another Ventura. What started my whole collection as I was dying. I was trying to gather a ball from every game the Royals got in a brawl with.
You guys were the scrappy Royals.
Yeah, so I wanted
that
to.
That was the World Series season, wasn't it?
That was
not?
The 15, yeah, because everyone
because
was
you had
like,
been, in other words,
just
you just,
come
you'd
out
been
of.
And lost to the Giants.
Right.
And then you just came out and everyone was sort of, you guys came right out in people's, it was a, that's a great team. And by the way, again, we have a lot of Kansas City fans. But Kansas City, those Royals, like, you should always take pride. And I remember those scrappy Royals April. Woo, boy, I love them scrappy Royals.
Ventura was fighting with Manny Machado and Adam Eaton. That brawl, Volquez punches somebody. I mean, it was.
Just because you said the name Volquez, all of a sudden, honest to God, at this moment, it sounds like we're talking about WWE wrestling. And then Volquez came in. It was a steel cage match. Yeah.
Come in, Adam Eaton with the left bomb. Boom, boom. No, it was, so I'm in Scottsdale at Kelly's in downtown Scottsdale on Thursday night. I'm in the bathroom doing my business. I look up from the
urinal. Spoiler.
I look up from the urinal. What's staring me right in front of me?
Wow. Your Daniel Ventura, number 30, just signed. Oh, but I'm assuming that's just someone, a fan.
His autograph is so weird, and that looks exactly like.
Guys, what I'm looking at, and you're going to have to put this on the feed, is I'm looking at a bathroom door. The back of
I'm sorry. It's a close up here. It's a bathroom wall. Give you a perspective. Yeah.
I don't need. It's
above the pisser. Like.
I got it. Oh, so he signed above the. It's a real blow up because it's above a urinal.
Yes, Kelly's in the men's room, it's right below the titties that were on there.
Oh, right. And by the way, it actually says. Oh, that's a TTK. I don't know. It says titty or a misspell of titty. T-I-T-Y? Yeah.
24. But.
All right. Maybe that's a.
But this is. I mean, it's in Scottsdale. The Royal, you know, the spring training in Arizona, that, you know, there they're might in be a Scottsdale.
Moment, it's like, I'm just going to say this. You might be in a sort of a spinoff of Ghost right now, where maybe the ghost of number 30 is trying to get in touch. He's just like, there's something of, you have the spirit of, you know, you might have to go to his parents and give them that ball back or something.
I almost, you know, or just go in there with a power tool and just cut out that board and just mail that to them.
No. But then you have to do is you have to have an authenticator come in, verify that, put a hologram sticker on, then cut it out. I would love to see. Yeah, I'm the urinal. I am the Major League Baseball authenticator.
All of a sudden, the story is like comedian John Cheeser is being prosecuted for selling fake Yordano Ventura autograph bathroom signage.
What? Sportsaholic.
But what are the odds?
And by the way, then you get to hear like Eli Manning, like, well, good. Like he gets on, you know, on his podcast that he has at home. he's like, we're starting an Eli Manning sportsaholics war, people.
It was a bar and people get drunk, but I'm like, who comes into a bar and then Ventura's autograph is like eight circles with some weirdness in. And then it just...
Because there's a certain point where it almost looks like some sort of, what do you call it? It looks almost like a pentagram, like, a satanic fucking pentagram.
Yeah,
there's a weird thing that I didn't even think that was the...
Yeah, it's... Well, and, you know, it could have been someone... But there's no, like, rest in peace or anything by it. And I'm just saying it's downtown Scottsdale where all the players go out all the time during spring training. And I'm trying to find a picture of the actual...
And who knows when he did it?
Well, that's right. Anyway, whatever.
But back to the point: integrity of the game. Commissioner Goodell, suspension, fraud. Eli Manning, so stupid. Actually said, "Can I get two game-worn helmets?" And then, man, going down.
Yeah. Lesson learned, people. If you're committing crimes, don't email about it. Don't Facebook about it. Don't sure as hell don't text about it. I think you just got to go with the old.
And by the way, Giants fans, just to add insult to injury, here's some salt for your wounds. Tom Coughlin, your Super Bowl winning head coach that you fired. You fired him, Giants fans. You did it.
But he
won
old.
You.
He was on his
Giants fans, he won you two Super Bowls. He gave you a single Super Bowl that unrelated to anything else. Like the very being the spoiler of a perfect season. That's a you get bonus Super Bowl points.
Tom Coughlin's like a 60 mile an hour wind gust away from just disappearing.
Light it up. Get the fuck off the block. And yeah, we light it up. Because every day gets halftime report.
All right, guys. Sorry we got cut off a little bit earlier, premature. Ran into some technical issues. But so far, I like the show. I like the persecution of Eli Manning. Any Manning persecution,
no,
I
it's prosecution. They're going to be prosecuted. Well, actually, he's not being
prosecuted. Well, from a Patriots fan, though, it kind of is.
Prosecuted. We're going to prosecute. We're going to prosecute. We're not going to persecute. Because remember, by the way, bonus points, people. Remember, Tom Brady destroyed his phone. You all mocked that. But now your guy had to, maybe he should have been destroying some phones. Maybe you should have a smooth criminal like Michael Jackson talked about. I'm sorry, we're getting into this. This is the halftime report. Sorry, I got to go have some electrolytes or something because I might dehydrate. Sorry, earlier I tripped the bullshit meter, and that's why our thing shut down. We'll be back.
Well, I kind of feel like it fits under persecution because from a Patriots fan, it's kind of like a political belief. You're coming at it with extra hostility.
You just looked on dictionary.com for that. So we're going to end the halftime report right now.
I just had to clarify it.
With a mystery subject. Mystery subject, mystery subject, mystery subject.
We are in, well, I guess starting quarter three now.
Third quarter, second half.
Which this week's episode, as you can tell, you're looking like, oh, it's almost up. We got to run up, show up, go up, show. I got here late, so we didn't get the full. When you run up actually up against some other responsibility or deadline, it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice, you know, because it forces you to get things done and accomplished. And
not being lazy.
Right, and you know, performing.
Gotta do more. Gotta be more. Dead Poets Society up in this biatch.
And so, also, so guys, if you're gonna be Seattle listeners, also, I'm looking for people to interview during, before, and after the game. So just hit me up at Sportsaholics on Twitter. If you're gonna be in the area or at the game, or you plan on getting an Ichiro bobblehead, yeah, because we'd like to talk, interview, talk Mariners. I'm thinking about going down to the Ebbets store. We had Mr. Cohen, the president of Ebbets Flannels, which is a great company. Jackets, hats, all that stuff, but they're just original stuff, and you know, it's all throwback baseball related.
Facebook or Twitter.
But their headquarters is 4 or 5 blocks from Safeco. It's great. I just don't want to go in there because I don't have $500 to spend on. Because I'll want everything, and this is before the shows, which is lucky. Because if I got stopped, hold on, let me drop that. If I got stopped by like. If I stop by there after, what I'm trying to fucking say is if I go by there after I do the shows and I have a pocket full of cash, then $500 will easily be lost before.
You buy too many balls. You buy too many balls.
No, I'm just talking about the jackets. Their jackets and the hats. Every time I log on to the.
Too many balls, and that's why that's taking away from your Ebbets hats collection.
Well, the problem is they haven't released any.
I'm overexcited, people.
They haven't released any new Giants.
I have to sing this last hit. Hit us on Facebook or Twitter.
So you were saying, what were you going to drop on us?
No, I said it was a mystery subject is what I said. You know, the reason I said that, Cheese, is because I don't know what the next subject we're going to talk about is. So the mystery subject is...
You're going to fill it in.
No, you're going to fill it in.
No, you said, I got nothing.
I set up the segment that you don't know what we're going to talk about next.
That's what the natural flow of the show is. I came in with just the equipment today and just the willingness to get, just wanted to get the episode up because I'm going to be gone all week. And I knew if we didn't do it tonight, it was going to be a 2-week lull.
Can't have that, especially when we're going on the road. Sportsaholics on the what? Okay, so then the mystery subject is the mystery that is to me is Kansas City. What are we doing? So we're gonna we're taking Spirit Airlines. By the way, guys, we bought our round trip tickets from L.A. to Kansas City for an undisclosed but very small amount.
Oh, it's fantastic! Which I end up getting. I bought a check. I got a check back. So if you have any like little extra things you need, just give. You see what I mean? Like I'll have room.
Because it was like they charge you for carry on.
Yeah, which you get a backpack.
But my personal item. But I want to say is, and I know because Sheezer made the arrangements. Sheezer is headlining Stanford's. He was nice enough to ask me to come along and open for him, which I always love featuring for the Sheez. He's great. It's a good team on the road. Please come out and see us at Stanford's. But then he also said, as he booked the flight, I said that I'd just shadow him on his flight. So he said Spirit Airlines. But he also then texted me back or called me, said that the website is a little tricky. And I mean, I was looking out for some things, but it was also like, hey, you're taking a backpack, you're not checking a bag, and all right, I'm ready to do that. Also, I have a great NBC Olympic bag, a knapsack from backpack from Rio that I love to travel with, and a great excuse to travel with. But then I see I'm buying the ticket, and it's crazy that it was like you said, select a seat is extra money, but it's also funny because it's like buying a seat is like $11.
Yeah, it's a weird price, and they're all different price.
It's like 20. This one's 20. No, but it was mostly like 22, 25 or something, and 11. Like it was almost laughable. But I also realized like this airline's so cheap. This is also an airline that had to change its name after a bad incident many years ago. So I'm a little skeptical, but. And remember, guys, as always, if anything ever happens to me, make sure it's investigated as a murder. Because where we're recording right now on the Sunset Strip, they're trying to tear down this building. And as a resident, if I am dead, it makes them easier to do that. So back to the story. But then we get to the part about, so it says that you get a personal item for free. And they give you a picture, like from a child's coloring book. And it looks like a purse, a big purse, but a woman's bag, right? And then they say... checked bag, and then that's for a price, and I think that was $25, $28. I want to say it was $28. Yeah, which is a weird price. But that, though, it's a checked bag, and you could show suitcases or rolling, but it wasn't a roller like you'd expect the personal item, but this was a carry on. It's extra for carry on, but I would expect like a roller bag, and this was definitely a backpack. They chose a backpack as the image for that. And then when they said checked bag, they had a roller bag. They had a roller bag in the checked bag, and they had a backpack in the carry-on, and a woman's purse in the personal item.
So they're already trying to, like,
it's already like they're optically shrinking you down. Like, if I take my roller bag, I'm going to have to... They're already getting you that you're thinking you're going to have to check it. So, because they're saying that's definitely a carry-on. Like, that's not a...
Yep, roller's a carry-on, for sure.
But then it's like, but they're also showing me a backpack, which means, like, guys, I'm setting the over-under... at 45% chance that someone talks to either me or she's about our backpacks.
I'm good just because I've flown with them. I mean, if it's a normal backpack, you're good. If it's a weird camping backpack,
right? I'm sure my
Let me see what you got there.
Yeah, it's
you're good.
It's gonna be great. By the way, it has a great NBC Rio 2016 with the
heavy
Olympics
duty
thing.
Too.
It's great. It was great for traveling. And by the way, guys, if you see me in Kansas City, and you want to see the Rio Olympic bag, I'm happy to show it to you. Come out to Stanford's. I'll bring it. I'll bring everything I own. I'll have everything with me in Kansas City with me at all times.
Now, did you get through the ticket purchase with it remaining the price as advertised, or did you?
Because it was honest to God, I can say this. Sheezer quoted me a certain price. From L.A., we're traveling like on a Wednesday and a Monday.
Yeah.
So they're off days a little bit. And we're flying back after, like, late evening Monday.
Yep, and mid-afternoon Wednesday. Yep.
Right. So it was, you said basically round trip, guys, $107. Which, by the way, just so you know,
round trip, not each way.
When I told that to my dad, telling him I was going and we were going out to Kansas City, he texts back, you sure that's round trip? Like, you just want to double check. You didn't just buy one way, right? I mean, it's like he wanted to make sure that I had the whole trip both ways. And I do, and it was, but I can also say you quoted me 107 and it was literally less than that. I believe it was 106.38.
That's right, because they round. They're really good when you buy it, because they're like, the government's cut. That's what they cover. You know, they're like,
I also appreciate that you didn't like. You know, it's like, I think I always appreciate like the restaurant host that tells you it's going to be 20 minutes for a table, but you're sitting in 12. I actually appreciate a little bit more. So somebody who's like, somebody who oversells how much something's going to cost by a dollar or two, like, hey, it's going to be 100. If like you said 110 bucks, but it's 106. Like, hey man, by the way,
it's even less.
Right. That's 68 cents or 62 cents. The 62 cents that I'm going to keep. Well, let me tell you, a cocktail napkin on me, Sheez. I am buying you a cocktail napkin anywhere in Kansas City.
I'm pretty sure you have to. They probably charge you for cocktail napkins on Spirit Airlines. But I've flown with them a bunch up to Seattle and Washington and back. I'm actually flying with them here in a couple days when I go up there. It's simple and it's affordable, and for it means the difference of it making an extra couple $100 when you go do shows, which, you know, believe me, that's a couple months.
Although I got to say also on the website, they're also a little bit gangster on about making you join the Spirit Club. Like, and they say it's only going to take a minute. Like, we swear it only takes a minute. But then it's like, you know, they get your email and your phone number and your address. Like, they get all the contact information. So, you know, it's like, you know, and they're not really offering you any special. And they're like, oh, well, for discounts and mileage. And
it
I
actually,
guess I have some money.
There are...
There are some advantages.
It's worth it because you make the $9 back. It's $9 to join this quote club that they have. But every randomly, they'll have these $19 flights to Vegas, $27 flights.
All right. Well, now you know it's like this might be Spirit Sportsaholics on the Road brought to you by
Spirit
Airlines.
That's what I'm saying, making it affordable.
Who knows? We might become the official sports obsessed podcast of Spirit Airlines. They may become our official airlines.
If they'll fly us to a different city once a week and we just do the podcast on the plane, just talking about how no one's getting beaten up and how great Spirit is, I'm down to do that. But as far as what we're doing in Kansas City, Royals game, day game that Sunday, there may or may not be a show at Stanford's that Sunday night. I'm trying to get in touch with the head coach of the Kansas City Arena football team, who is,
yes.
And we're trying to organize interview there, and hopefully, I mean, I'd like to get on a field and try to like catch a touchdown if possible, even if it's before the game.
Arena league football,
right?
I've never caught a football in an arena, you know what I mean? Saying like I'm
yeah,
saying
neither
in,
I,
a, in a hockey basketball arena, I've never caught a football.
And so we'll do that, and then you know the barbecue, and it'll be fun. We'll get a.
It better be.
We'll get a sampling of the Royals and a couple take you around downtown.
Right. We're going to a Royals game.
At least 4 or 5. Here's the predicament: is the Royals game starts at 12:40, the football game starts at 3:30, but they're only 10 minutes apart. So I think we'll go to a half a Royals game and then go down to the arena
sports
game.
Sportsaholics doing two sports, double fisting.
We're just staying crazy. All right. That's the end of the
third quarter. There's our mystery subject. Was really, you know, what's crazy? It was about us and our tour in Kansas City and what we're going to do, Stanford's, and then we may have some dates to announce, possibly a Sunday show. Snatching down bars, cause on the tow trucks, it's making it hard, and by the time they get in to your pad, you done flush it down the toilet, and now they're mad, and so they mad as hell to take you to jail, but you out the next minute. And on the very next day, you say, what the heck? You get a letter in the mail and it's a DA reject. And you're jumping up and down cause it ain't no case. And to the police, that is a waste. But yeah, rock man, you'll see it soon. And you won't hear snatch, you'll hear a boom. You can't stop it, baby. The veteran. The veteran. You can't stop it, baby. You were so high. That night when your eyes was tight and you didn't even notice the battle ram lights. So gone. So gone that when they said it was there, you just shook your head and said, I don't care. They stopped without no doubt that when they said give up, you cussed them out. And when your dope buster friends drove up in their car, you stuck out your chest and started acting hard. You took off your feeler shirt and your Reebok shoes and had the nerve to call the police a bunch of fools. You called them pigs, sissies, and even punks. While the Bat-A-Ram battery needed a jump, and by the time it got started, you fell to the floor. And that's when the cops said they can't take no more. And you were so damn high, my little friend.
And look, the NBA season, quarter four is underway. The NBA season is now officially underway with the playoffs starting, and I was kind of pulling for your Celtics.
Tough day for the Celtics. Apparently, our natural leader, Isaiah Thomas, the good one, not the evil bad boy Isaiah Thomas.
The new Isaiah Thomas.
The new and improved Boston Celtics.
And for you youngsters,
guys,
there's an older
His sister was killed in a car crash. His sister, China. I believe she was 22 years of age. And he played in game one on Sunday night. And they lost to the number eight seed Bulls.
Doubles.
I guess it's, yeah. So, in fact, we were just talking. We opened talking about the man-child and the Rain Man. And, and his one seed, eight seed loss to the Dikembe Mutombo Nuggets. And my own number one seed, you know, and look, no one in Boston is necessarily expecting the Celtics to go to the finals.
And that no one expected that one seed. And no one expected the Cavaliers to walk into the playoffs with this, 12-15 record or whatever it is.
Right, and especially with that whole, it's like, remember the Celtics, I mean, it's one of the least sexy number one seeds of all time when it's like, all right, the Cavaliers started falling down on their face and it fell to the Celtics. They had a one game advantage. And then of course, later in the week, they actually had to play head to head with Boston playing at home. It was a complete blowout. And then even after the Cavaliers, the Cavaliers took care of business and then immediately proceeded to give away the lead again.
You really did get the sense, okay, the Cavs are just going to take this one seed.
The Cavs do not care. They may even have been jockeying for the position of not trying to face the Bulls or a matchup or, you know, because maybe even that, you know what, maybe LeBron didn't want to play his former teammate, Dwayne Wade, the man who could say, I mean, if Yankee Stadium is the house that Ruth built, then in some ways you could easily see a magazine article that's, that says Dwayne Wade, the man who taught LeBron how to win championships. I mean,
showed LeBron the way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's, remember, it's like there's a point where, you know, they came in. They have been in the league the exact same amount of years.
Same draft.
With
back to back.
No, they're not. Well,
it was LeBron, Darko, then Dwayne Wade.
It is LeBron, Darko Milicic, Carmelo Anthony, number three, and then 4-year senior of Marquette, Dwayne Wade, who had himself a hell of a tournament and got
hell of a senior year, yeah.
And pushed. He gets himself in the Final Four, and especially he's also in some ways eclipsed by the one and doneness of the Syracuse.
He was definitely almost a throwback because this was right at the height of everyone jumping straight into the NBA.
Right, and it's also the national title winners have two freshmen that in themselves, Jerry McNamara and who doesn't go to the NBA, and Carmelo Anthony who does. It's like, you know, I wouldn't compare them to the Fab Five, but you're saying you have two phenom freshmen, one who's going to go, he is still wrongly presumed to be a franchise player, even though, the head of the president of his franchise, Phil Jackson, actually just said, Carmelo would be better off somewhere else. That's what your president said. So it's such a bad slight that one of the vice presidents of the players at the NBA Players Association has publicly complained saying, hey, you know, if Carmelo says that about the Knicks, the player will get fined. We have to have some sort of, somebody needs to slap Jackson around a little bit, or this needs to be some sort of penalty, because that's not cool. It's like the respect needs to go both ways.
And that's how bad it's gotten, is Phil Jackson's doing everything he can to let us know that, hey, look, it's not really my fault. The Knicks here, Dolan's a moron, and Anthony's never been a leader. I mean, Darko's only 21 years old. I mean, what do I got to work with here?
You're saying Porzingis. You're saying Darko.
Oh, yeah, Porzingis. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Porzingis is what Darko, if Darko had been Porzingis.
Then Detroit may have gotten a couple more
rings. I know, but imagine if Detroit, and remember, Detroit was winning titles.
Yeah, it was a weird, they had gotten the pick through a deal.
Right. They get the number two pick. And they're like, they won back-to-back titles, or they won one and then they lost it to the Spurs.
They beat the Lakers 2 years.
But it was also one of those things, that was the time where I also thought for a second I almost felt like we were going to have an NBA championship belt. I felt like that Ben Wallace, the Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, Tayshaun Prince.
They all five were all-stars that one year. And Chauncey Billups, yeah. Tayshaun, Wallace, Wallace, and I think I'm even forgetting somebody else, but I'm pretty sure they had five All-Stars that whatever the year following their championship.
Richards? Who played the mask? Yeah.
Hamilton. Richard Hamilton.
Richard Hamilton, right.
Yeah. Is that right? Richard
Maybe.
Hamilton?
Maybe. We'll look it up. We'll look at it in overtime. There's no overtime.
Let us know. Which, by the way, we got to actually wrap this up. We got to get down to the world-famous Comedy Store, 8433 Sunset, which, guys, if you're in L.A., every Sunday except
Sunday's
for the first.
Sunday's the last thing, and we may – I got to say
may
this.
May go
also,
every other.
We're going in May. Keep watching. We may change up. We may start doing – we might go to a bi-weekly format real soon, scheduling conflicts, letting some other shows get in there. We'll see. We're doing more with less. We're working harder. Smarter, not harder. Yada, yada, yada. Bula, bula, bula.
That's right. And listeners, come on out again if you're in Seattle this week, like probably tonight if you're listening on Wednesday, or probably tonight if you're listening on Thursday. That is Peabody's in Mill Creek on the 19th and April 20th. That is the Angel of the Winds Casino, and that is in Squawskawashi, somewhere. You know what? Right, it's right within 10 minutes,
by the way, guys,
30 minutes of where all the Ted Bundy.
Get ready to learn. Those cosmos taking his turn to burn.